Amen. I have the best wife, executive assistant. We work in the same office. There's just a few feet between us, just in the next room. And we're enjoying working together for sure. And some of you maybe don't even know what we're doing. We left here. Well, I spent a couple of years taking care of mom and dad. And those were two very difficult years, yet important years. And I think of them often and smile and their little quirkiness and little sayings that they had and prayers and worship and sermons. And just it was a joy to spend those 2 years. And then since then, we've been 2 years in Texas. Like Kari said, it's a foreign land almost from Idaho. And we love what we're doing, though. God gave a prophetic word to the Pentecostal Church of God at our centennial celebration back in 2019 and said that the 2020s would be a decade of harvest for us. And he was renewing our passion, renewing our fruitfulness for this new restart of our second century, beginning with a decade of harvest. And we need new churches and new ministers, and we need revival. And so that stuck in my heart at that meeting. And I'm over here in North Idaho and saying, Lord, I love that, and I want Kamei and Kuski to be a part of that. And God gave this church such a beautiful mission, and I think about it all the time, what God has called us to do here. And it's glorious, and it's beautiful, and it's part of the harvest for sure. And so then we got a call to say, would you come to Bedford, Texas, DFW area, and would you work as the general secretary and executive assistant? And we loved our bishop, and we loved the leaders, and we loved having an opportunity to work with them. And so my passion has just been harvest for many decades now. And we built this church thinking about harvest. God asked us, would you build us a church that would reach people that other churches aren't reaching? And I'm going, God, I just kind of want to be a classical Pentecostal pastor. I don't really want to build that church. He says, but I have two or three of those in the area already. I need a church that's going to reach a different group of people, that's going to have a harvest emphasis, that's going to have an outreach emphasis. Would you build that church? And we all together said yes. And we're in that building, but you're also part of that mission. I'm part of that mission still, and it's glorious. Anyway, I love that, and we're in Bedford, Texas, just doing God's work. It's different than pastoring. I don't get to preach often, do a lot of administration, do a lot of mentoring. Kari and I have spiritual sons and daughters that we're ministering to. We have a Bible college on the floor beneath us, so we're interacting with those students all of the time. We have a brand new global missions director that is just globally connected, and he and his wife, Carl and Jennifer Hargiston, are going to be such a beautiful part of this last 5 years of this decade of harvest, and I'm excited about that. My tagline on all my emails is this phrase, accelerating our missional pace. And I feel like that's what I am doing in Bedford, Texas. I'm just accelerating the missional pace of our churches, of our ministers, of our pastors, of our young men and our young women. Anything that I can do to help accelerate our missional pace, I want to do that. And the reason that I'm here with the message that we have today is also to accelerate your missional pace. And what God's doing here in Kamei and Kuski, not only do we have a history here, but we see the future. We feel the future. We know what God's saying about the future here. Arby and Kathleen are sons and daughters to us, spiritual sons and daughters. We love them. What's that? He's up there. Praise the Lord. Spiritual sons and daughters. Arby, we're glad you're here. I'm praying for your soon, soon recovery, that God would accelerate your missional pace in your healing as well as your amazing pastoral calling. Amen. They're the right people for this season. I'm going to talk about what God's doing around the world for a little bit, but I just wanted to kind of catch you up. Texas is, like Kari said, a different world. I went in for some physical health issue, and they put on the paper pajamas. You know, you got to put on the paper pajamas and go in for the x-ray or whatever. And it was a cold front that day in Texas. It was like 58. I'm not kidding. The weather forecasters go, we have a cold front coming through. It's going to be 58 today. I haven't got my coat out of the boxes yet over there. But anyway, the sweet little nurse said, sir, would you like a blanket? And I'm going, no, this is very comfortable temperature for me. I'm fine. She goes, where are you from? You don't have an accent. Like, you have an accent, but it's not our accent, right? And I said, well, I'm from Idaho, North Idaho. And she says, so what are you doing in Texas? I go, sweating? And that about sums it up. It is the Bible Belt, and they have a whole different culture there than we do here in North Idaho. And it's funny to, well, you got to be careful poking fun at them. I got to preach to our whole general board, so that was leaders from all around the United States, and I got a chance to preach to them a year ago, November. And I said, God, I was just preaching that God's wanted me to come to Texas. I go, God, why Texas? I'm from North Idaho. Beautiful mountains and rivers and snow and trees and elk and deer. And I want to, why Texas? He said, don't worry, Kelly. This is as close to hell as you're ever going to get. The Texas natives did not appreciate that. So you have to be careful. Now they say, well, how do you like Texas? And I go, so are you a multi-generational from Texas? Because they're very proud of their state. And if they are, I'm going, it's okay. And if they're not, I go, it's hot, flat, and ugly. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a huge revival happening in our world right now. And amongst Gen Z and this younger generation. And when I hear it, when I study it, I'm just so excited about what God's doing. I also, one of my privileges is getting to write messages in our international magazine and speak to the future of what God's doing in the church and in our church for specific. And so it's interesting praying. I mean, I'm used to praying and getting sermons and getting a year's worth of a mission from God and a decade's worth of mission for a church. But doing that for a movement is a whole different animal, you know. And I wrote in an article, and it just came out last week, and I wanted to share some of that with you. It's kind of some statistics that's happening with this revival that's occurring. And let me share some of those. I have a message from God's word for you, and I believe there's a couple of prophetic items in there that are very specific for your encouragement and for your strengthening today. But I wrote in this article just talking about the revival that's coming. It says, let me encourage us with a few paragraphs regarding the signs of revival in Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and beyond. There's so much revival happening on college campuses. We get to hear about some of that off and on, but it's a huge reality that is constantly occurring, and it's glorious. It's not just in the United States either. It's Oxford. It's over in England. It's everywhere, this movement of God among Gen Z. It says, we're seeing the first fruits of revival all around us. Don't miss this. You and I are included. 2, atheism is pretty much gone amongst young people. That's a beautiful phrase and statement. The evidence is that it's gone down from 25% amongst Gen Y to something like 20% amongst Gen X and down to 13% in Gen Z. So it's about 50% of what it was 2 generations ago. That's glorious, folks. And if we're not careful, though, we get to feeling like this is the same world that it was 20 years ago. And the church has the same struggles that we had 20 years ago. We do not. We are in the beginnings of amazing revival, and we must not miss this. Here at the Life Center, we must not miss this. These young people all around us They are primed and ready. We don't have to worry about, what do they call it, when they're decommissioning or deconstructing. We don't have to worry about deconstructionism. We've heard about it if you've been listening for 20 years or so, but this generation has nothing to deconstruct. They don't have a history with God. They don't have that. They're starting fresh. They're starting with interest. They're starting with an ear that's listening and hearing. They're walking into buildings that are big buildings and going, I wonder what happens in there, and it's a church. And they get saved, and they go, the purchasing of Bibles has gone way up from Gen Zers, from previous generations. And they're not just buying them and setting them on the coffee table, they're reading them. Hallelujah. And they're discussing them, and they're asking questions about it. This is the generation we're living in right now. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for us and what we're doing because we've prayed. Some people ask, why is this happening? And one of the answers is it's the prayers of the generations before them being answered. And I'm going, that's some of my prayers. That's some of your prayers that are being answered now. Sometimes we pray prayers and we're not sure they're ever going to be answered. Although theologically, we say they're going to be answered. But realistically, sometimes we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And we're wondering if it's ever going to really happen. Guess what, folks? It's happening now. Hallelujah. And that is so cool. So cool. I love it. I love it so much. There's a church in London, England, that has had a genuine influx of 18 to 35-year-olds, and they have planted 184 churches that are full and experiencing revival. If you know anything about England, it's the beautiful edifices of their churches were empty, and they were turning them into businesses, turning them into all sorts of other things, nightclubs sometimes. But now they're planting 184 new churches, and it's glorious. It's amazing. The post-Christian season is ending, and the new season of pre-Christian or pre-revival is happening right now in the hearts of people. One outcome of hitting rock bottom is that there's no dealing with deconstruction now, and they don't know anything about God, so it's all new and exciting to them. There are sudden, surprising, supernatural, significant, and sustained salvations happening all over the world in Gen Z. Sustained supernatural salvations happening. And we have to be right in the middle of that. We have to be ready. We have to be participating. It's going to take loads of people, churches, leaders, nations, and denominations to hold this revival. One church, one group is not going to do it. And our unity and harmony amongst the churches is going to be critical in this revival season. We can't afford to be fighting and arguing and judging and criticizing each other. We've got to love each other and support each other and pull together for this revival that's happening. It says, this is worth fighting for. The blessing outweighs the battle. Amen. God's church, God's mission, God's vision, it's worth fighting for. The blessing outweighs the battle. There's times when you and I are in the middle of the battle and we're not sure. The blessing outweighs the battle. You ever been there? Are you there today? Does the blessing outweigh the battle? Should I just give up? Should I just go do something else? Should I just coast? Should I just wait and see but not engage? Now, it's worth fighting for. The vision and mission of the Life Center is worth fighting for. And we have to know that the blessings outweigh the battle. And I know that it feels like sometimes you're in the battle. Maybe right now our pastor's injured. The recovery's slow, although fast compared to some brain recovery, you know. And We feel like we're in a bit of a holding pattern, but Arby and Kathleen are the right people. Mark and Jeanette are the right people. And you all are the right people. And God's going to use us for this revival and the mission that's here at the Life Center. In England, male Gen Z church attendance in 2018 was 4%. Now it's 21%. And these young men are at the center of revival. The cool thing is it's young men. Usually church revivals were led by women, you know, and the women coming in and the women praying the men in. And this time it's the men coming in. How glorious and supernatural and amazing is that? I'm just about done with this part. The big question might be, do we really want it? Because the cost is really high. Will we weep? Will we pray? Will we fast? Are we willing to pay the price in spiritual tenacity that it takes to get there? Amen. I am. I moved from Idaho to North Texas to help something like this happen. And I know that you're ready. Many of you are so ready for this revival to happen. So in my mom's famous words, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because it's happening now. And we're going to see it. And it's definitely worth the investment. One of my new books that I'm reading is The Future Begins with Gen Z, 9 Strategies to Lead Generation Z as They Disrupt the Workplace. And this is not just about the workplace, but it's about the church too. They might disrupt the church a little bit. We did when we were young, didn't we? Them hippies, they disrupted the church. I mean, you hippies, you disrupted the church. Because some of you are sitting in the building today. And this young Jen's going to disrupt the church. God, do it. And we're ready. Amen. All right, that was the preliminaries. And I know I'm very time conscious. It's 11 o'clock. Linda's leaving at 11:45. The kids are coming in at 11:45. That's going to be fun, but it could be a little disruptive. And I'm going to have the microphone in Mark's hands, and he's going to be up here before then. So you can time me. We'll see how we do here. The sermon today is entitled Christmas Hope and Joy. I've been praying for months about what to say to you, because I do believe in prophetic words. I do believe that God is always talking to us, and God's always encouraging us, and God always knows our feelings, our emotions, our struggles, our hopes. He knows all of that, and he's always speaking into that. He's always pushing me forward, dragging me forward some days, but forward is always the motion he's trying to get out of me and out of you. And we're in our Christmas season. Hope and joy is really inspiring. It's really encouraging. The angels could have said a million different things. We had a great Sunday school lesson this morning, but the angels could have said, I bring you great sanctification and justification. It shall be to all people. Righteousness for everyone. And that's true, and we love it, and we must teach about it. Those weren't the words the angels used. Those weren't the words God spoke for this moment, for this season. That's discipleship. That's training. But the encouragement, the excitement, the end result of our salvation, the end result of our labors in the Lord is joy, peace, grace to all people. The angels spoke that very clearly. So this morning I want to talk about Christmas hope. And I spent a month and a half working on that title. And then about a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said, you better add joy to that. Because the Life Center needs some joy. The Clearwater Valley needs some joy. Hope is one thing. And if you're a mature Christian, it seems like you always have hope. You've learned to have hope. You've learned that you're never without hope. But I've been clinging to hope for a while. Could I get some joy, please? Could we get some result? Could we get some movement, please? Can we get to some joy? In my family, I love hope, but I really want to get to some joy. In my marriage, hope's pretty cool, but I like joy better. In the church, yeah, in the community, we need hope, but we also need joy. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. This is a New King James Version I'm reading out of. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That's a lot. That's a mouthful right there, huh? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." I don't feel all of that right now, this teenage girl. I don't feel that way right now. So she was a little troubled. What manner of greeting is this? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And behold, you like that reinforcement? You found favor with God, girl. Hang on, it's going to be good. And behold, let me find my place here. "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." No wonder he said, "Do not fear." You know, I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about here? "He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Now he's speaking prophetically. Now he's feeling prophetic words that they've been thinking about, believing generationally for a long, long time. Their ceremonies all talked about this. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And there's been a lot of times God says stuff to us and say, "God, I'm not sure how this is going to happen." It's like, there's no evidence of this being possible right now. This is not natural or normal. God really doesn't care about that. Does he? No. He doesn't care about that. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month." There was some news there, right? "For her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Love that. And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Oh, Mary was pretty smart there. Mary was very godly. Mary gave a great answer. I don't always give that good of an answer when God's speaking to me. I don't always give him that good of an answer. So let's kind of walk through this. Gabriel appeared and said words like, "Rejoice." Now, some of you are going to relate to different ones of these phrases. God's speaking these words to you and I today as well. Rejoice. Maybe you relate to that really well. Highly favored one. Blessed are you among women. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. With God, nothing will be impossible. Those phrases resonate. At different times of our life, different seasons of whatever we're going through, we need those phrases to resonate and return to us. Rejoice. Come on, Kelly, you've been sad too long. You've been depressed too long. You've been discouraged too long. You've been focusing on the wrong things, Kelly. You need to quit looking at the past and look into the future, because I got something good that I'm going to do with you and for you. Rejoice, Kelly. God's spoken words like that to me before. Highly favored one. Wow, everything's going bad. Everything's going wrong. You call me highly favored? things are so bad, my Ford even broke down, and I know that's bad. That's unnatural. I gotta refresh some things that I spoke while I was here all those years, right? Highly favored. Sometimes you don't feel so favored. You feel like you're the black sheep instead of the favored one. Well, you are favored. You are the favored ones. Blessed are you among women. Sometimes, ladies, you're comparing your life with other people's lives and what you're having to experience and go through, and you're not feeling like you're highly favored among women. Sometimes it's hard for girls to find friends. Sometimes it's hard for girls to love each other and support each other instead of compete with each other. It's not that much different for guys either. Sometimes the only way it's different for us is we isolate more, so it's not that big of a deal sometimes. I thought the guys would say amen to that. Or the girls out there would say, yeah, you turkeys. Sometimes the Lord says, don't be afraid. Yeah, we're going to go do this. It's going to be a little disruptive, but don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. I chose you. You're the one I'm going to use. You're the one I'm tapping on the shoulder. You're the one. You found favor with God. And this last one, we need a lot in our life. With God, nothing is impossible. Because with Kelly, a whole lot of things are impossible. A whole lot of things are impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. The ministry that we're doing is way above our heads as far as training and skill. They elect you into this office and they give you a desk and a whole load of work and they say, go. You're like, wow, God, help me, you know. And I'm making lots of phone calls to the previous general secretary. Dan, what did you do here? What do I do here? I think God loves putting us in situations that's above our head. So we'll ask him for help. We'll call on him. We'll trust him. And then when anything good happens, we get to say, the Lord gets all the glory. Right? Right? Mary's response was pretty special and faith-filled. Sometimes that's a challenge, is just having a faith-filled response instead of, yeah, right, you know. Mary could have said, yeah, right. You shouldn't say that to an angel. You can say that to me. You can say that to Arby. You can say that to your husband or wife, but do not say that to an angel. Her response was, I am the Lord's servant. Here's my identity. Here's my why I'm alive. This is why I'm sucking oxygen. I am the Lord's servant. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I'm his servant. God, whatever you want, even if it's Texas. It's like the outskirts of hell. Even if it's Texas. The only great thing is the football team, but other than that, I know, it's been a tough year, again. I'm the Lord's servant, and I hope you can say that confidently. I'm God's servant. Whatever he wants me to do, I will do. This is his life, not my life. I'm a servant. She said, let it be to me according to your word. You spoke these words, so be it. Let it be to me just like you want. I'll do it. I will do it. I will do it, Lord. We need to know that we're God's servant, God's child, God's loved one, God's chosen, God's called. Do you know that God loves you, sent Jesus for you, has a plan for you? That's the basics of Christianity. It's the basics. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but could have everlasting life. God loves you. God loves your neighbor. He loves Uncle Joe. God loves everybody. But he loves you. Mary knew it wouldn't be easy. She knew there would be times of pain. Like, okay, pregnant girl, no husband, God's child. Whew, that's a lot. But I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. It's going to be disruptive. It's going to be different. It's going to be hard to explain. There's going to be a lot of people not understand. There's going to be a lot of people point a finger. There's going to be a lot of people judge. I'm not even sure how Joseph's going to deal with this, mom and dad. I don't know. But Lord, so be it. So be it. She knew there was going to be times of pain, but the hope, the results, the joy, the promises were worth it. And there's so many times that God just has to get me back to the idea, Kelly, it's worth it. The result that we're going to get, the hope that we're going to give, the mentoring that we're going to do, the encouragement that we're going to be a part of, it's worth it. The revival that's coming, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, Kelly, it's worth it. Go. Be who I asked you to be. Go do it. And it's the same for you. It's worth it. Whatever he asks you to do, it's worth it. Do that. Do that. You might think you're going to retire, but you're not. You might move to North Idaho, to this beautiful landscape, by this fixer-upper that's a landmark that everybody talks about, nobody wants. Your name might be Mark and Jeanette Hicks. And you're going to retire from pastoring and live happily ever after. No, you're not. There's revival coming. There's harvest coming. And your heart is for that anyway. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes. It's worth it. Also, these promises are sure and absolute. They're not maybe. When God says it, it's going to happen. And that's glorious. Life has its painfully hard seasons, but hope and truth pull us through those seasons into seasons of joy. Mary knew the fact, this fact, that I want you to know, that I want to concrete in my heart, God's will is good for us. Whatever God's will is, that's the best thing for us. And it could be a platitude. I've heard it, all right? Doing God's will is the best thing. And it could be a platitude in the church, but it is really a tenet of faith. It is really basic truth. It is really true. God's will is the best for you. You and I have our plans, but God's will is what's best for us. God's will. She didn't try to negotiate the will of God. Have you ever done that? Negotiate God's will. It's like, so God, if you'll do this and this, and then I'll go ahead and do that. You know, it's like, God, if you'll part the water, I'll step in. He says, if you'll step in, I'll part the water. No. How about big toe, and then you part the water? He goes, how about up to the chin, and then I part the water? See, a lot of times we like to negotiate the will of God. Mary didn't do that. She didn't try to wiggle out of the confusion or the difficult pieces. She didn't say, well, you tell Joseph, send the angel to Joseph, and then I'll say yes to this. She said yes. God did send an angel to Joseph, but she said yes way before that happened. Because God's got the details worked out. He's just waiting for you and I to say yes. Just to say yes. She was all in. We too have choices to make regarding commitment, our belief in God's promises, and even God's prophetic words, his predictions for the future. We get to say yes or no. We get to say I believe or I don't believe. We get to say I'm going to engage it or I'm just going to watch it. We get to say that. But the best thing for you is to do the will of God. The very best thing for you. And you know what? To your credit, I think back of the history of just my years here, and to your credit, you are a congregation of people that say yes to God's will. And I love you for that. I love being a part of that. I really do. God's promises aren't generic, just the generic brand of hope that maybe, maybe not, it's going to happen. God's promises are pure, authentic hope And if God said it, he knows how to make it happen. Amen. Say, well, God, I don't have the resources. And I thought, well, I got to throw a few of my old things in, you know, if I'm going to show up here. And I thought, yeah, God's kingdom is not a pie chart. It's a river. And Kari and I were, this morning I'm preparing and finalizing things, and I'm sitting in this VRBO looking at the river. And it's full and it's flowing. God reminded me, my kingdom's a river. And my resources are like a river. A pie chart is like, well, they've all got the best parts and there's just little crumbs left for me. But God said, no, my kingdom's not a pie chart, it's a river. You just stick your pump in and pump out whatever you need, and the resources flow on down. And anybody, for your family, you got to know that God's resources are abundant. You just got to stick your pump in the river and get to pumping that good stuff out for what the Lord has for you. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We're getting to a couple of the prophetic words I feel like the Lord has for us in this part. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Then Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled. Notice that. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. this is an event that should have brought joy and hope. But instead, because of their perspective, it brought trouble. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me so that I can come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And if you read on, you realize that Jesus and his family have to run to Egypt for safety. And Herod ends up killing all the young boys from age 2 down to birth, hoping to kill the king of the Jews that was born. There's always a threat to the will of God. There's always a threat to the kingdom of God. There's always somebody stirring up trouble. Don't point at anybody. There's always somebody stirring up trouble. But God has a way to get us around the trouble into the victory. And maybe you're going through trouble right now. God wants you to know that he has a way to keep you safe and to get you on the other side and to get you experiencing the fulfillment of that prophecy of the Word of God in your life. God has a way to do that, and he's going to do that for you. Amen. Amen. So here, we're getting to this prophetic word I think is for you, this church. Herod had a different response than Mary did. Herod was troubled, and he troubled all of Jerusalem. Herod brought complications to the story, while the wise men brought provisions to the story. And they brought worship and honor to the story. There's a story happening around us right now. I told you about the revival. You guys know the story of the Clearwater Valley in the last 2 years a lot better than I do. I mean, I drive around and I've read some things. I know that Clearwater Valley is its own school district now. There's a story to that. You passed a levy. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but some of you should be really happy about that. There's a new gas station in Kuski. But not everybody's too happy about it. I drove over there. I thought, where are we going to park when we go to the grocery store now? I don't want to stir up anything, but I'm just saying, I'm going to come back up tomorrow and we're going to the food bank. But I haven't been there in 2 years, maybe three or more, taking care of mom and dad. There's a story that I don't know about it. I don't know how it works and who's coming anymore. And I know it's glorious, though, and I want to come enjoy it. You guys know the story better than I do. But here's the word I felt like God wanted to speak to you. You can either bring complications and trouble to the story, or you can bring provisions to the story. You get to choose that. And you already are doing one of those two things. You are not Switzerland. You are not neutral. You're already bringing either complications and trouble or provisions to the story. And God would love you to think about your life the last year or two at the Life Center, if you've been here that long. He would love you to think about the reputation, the vision, the mission, your pastor's healing process. And he would love you to consider, are you a complication or are you a provision? Are you on the trouble side or are you on the side that's bringing the hope and the joy? And here's what I know, if we can all get on the provision side, and if we can all get on the hope and joy side, it's not going to matter who's on the complication side. And it's not going to matter what the enemy wants to do or has tried to do. We're going to win. And this place is going to be filled with hope and joy. And this place is going to be filled with testimony. This place is going to be filled with a bunch of young, newly saved, gloriously saved, supernaturally saved young men and women. And maybe some middle-aged men and women. They might even salt and pepper it with some of us old men and women. But God's got really good plans for you, for this church. Maybe you're a board member at the Life Center, and God would ask you, are you bringing complications? Are you bringing provisions? Are you hearing what God's saying and are you leading in that direction to a glorious future or something else? Because God wants us all united, pulling together. Now, I want you to also think about your family, your job, your business, your career. Are you bringing complications to that? Or are you bringing provisions for that? Y'all are going to get together with some of your family members. You all are going to be doing some Zoom calls if you're not physically together, some phone calls. And God would love you to be like the wise men showing up with provision instead of like Herod showing up with more trouble. Your family needs you. Your neighbor needs you. The Life Center needs you. The kingdom of God needs you and I to be people that bring provision. Gold, silver, and myrrh, we need to bring that. Frankincense, we need to bring that. We need to bring the beautiful, wonderful things into the story. Amen. God help us. Let me pray for us just for a minute. I'm not done, but I'm going to pray for a minute. I'm almost done. Jesus, you're speaking to us and challenging us. But with that word and with that challenge is a supernatural provision for us to be people that can bring provision instead of complication. Lord, I may not even know how to change what I am saying and doing in certain situations. My emotions are fully engaged. My history is fully engaged. But God, I believe that you can use us to be people of provision and hope and joy instead of people bringing trouble and complications. Let the Life Center be known as that church. And let us be known as people in our families, people in our jobs and our businesses and our careers, our schools, that bring provision instead of complications. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe that you can stick your pump in the river and get whatever you need to become the provision instead of the complication. I really believe that for us. Amen. Our flesh will bring complications. Our skepticism, our criticism, our selfishness, our laziness will bring complications, but our devotion, our sacrifice, our love, our compassion, our unity, our wisdom, our generosity will bring provision and how God might want you to participate. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. So the prioritization of all that is spiritual, of all that is godly, of all that is full of hope and joy, of all that is provision instead of complication, that's what we must commit to. So we're not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We're not just going to show up on Sunday and get a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of hope and a little bit of joy and go home and grumble the rest of the week. We're spiritual beings. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We are going to live for eternity. And our eternity is going to be determined by the choices that we make and the priorities that we have and the results that we are a part of. And Jesus came to give us that. To give us that. I could already hear people saying, well, it's not about works, it's about grace. Yeah, but you're going to be judged by your works. You may get to heaven without any works, but you don't really want to. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our works are going to be tried and tested with fire. Jesus might quote me, I don't know. He might say, Kelly, your life, you're not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. You should be producing gold, silver, precious stone stuff that's eternal instead of wood, hay, and stubble because you are a spiritual being. You had a temporary human experience, but now you're standing before my judgment seat. And I hope for each one of us, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in into the joy of the Lord instead of, well, you're done. You want to hear him say, well done, not well, you're done. So God's words, his promises, his prophetic words, they come to pass. Even though they look unlikely, can a virgin conceive and carry a baby? That seems unlikely. That seems impossible. With God, all things are possible. And God speaks things into your life and my life that seems unlikely. But God says, no, my promises are sure. They're yes and amen. Even though they look unlikely, they will come to pass. We have hope. Christmas brings us hope. Man, if nothing else can restore hope, Christmas should be able to. What a beautiful season. What a glorious story. Amen. Even in our darkest night, the star is shining and leading us on. In Luke chapter 2, we hear it, but I wanted to close with it today. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born a Savior. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. Life Center, this is our hope. This is our joy. This is our mission. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Mark.